you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Here we go. We are back. Michael Bisping back fresh off of his trip, setting the world on fire in England. You look like you had a great time.
I look like I had a great time. What are you basing that on? Are you talking about my look, my appearance, or are you talking about the bullshit that everyone puts forward on social media?
Yes. Well, it's pretty funny because that's what everyone does. Everyone just posts pictures, and according to social media, everyone's rich. Everyone's eating at the best restaurants. Everyone has the best, looks great at all times, looks good in a bikini. They have, successful. But the reality is nobody's taking pictures of them when they're at their lowest. Like, people always tell me that I'm a good father. Like, dude, you're a great dad. I see those pictures with you and your kid. And I'm like, yeah, but if I'm abusing my child, I'm not putting it on video and then posting it to Instagram.
Yeah, that's right. The videos of you beating him senseless every night, forcing him to go to sleep by putting a pillow over his face. You're not putting that on Instagram, funnily enough. Yeah, no, I had a great trip in England. Thank you. Always good to be home. I think I've said this before, whenever I land, or as I'm coming into land and you look along and you see the green, green grass of England, always fills me with a sense of pride. But I had a bit of a nightmare because I fell asleep and the air hostess woke me up as I landed. And so I got off like all that kind of bleary eyed and hazy, as one does, still half asleep. And then I go through customs, I go through immigration, I get my suitcase, I'm outside, I'm getting picked up, and I go to grab a couple of bottles of water because I'm dehydrated, go to pay, left my wallet on the plane. Or I think I've left my wallet on the plane. Now, that's all well and good. Wallet on the plane is one thing. A little bit of cash in there, cards, whatever. That's easy. But my green card is in my wallet.
Oh, no.
And getting a new green card isn't easy. And as I was waiting and freaking out, I Googled how long for a replacement green card. And they said 10 to 12 months. So I'm freaking out like a maniac, thinking I'm not going to be able to go home and see my family for 10 to 12 months.
Wait a
minute.
And
it's Christmas coming up.
Wait a minute. That would have... No. If you physically lose your green card, you can't go back into the country?
10 to 12 months. Even though it's just a piece of plastic. It's just a piece of plastic. I've got to start what's the word I'm looking for? I've got to start the whole application process all over again. It's ridiculous. It really is. But anyway, long story short, they did find the wallet. Some guy went and looked on the plane. It took a while. It was like 2 hours. And the partners from UFC Gym England, they were very kindly picking me up from the airport. I was so embarrassed because they walk in to pick me up. Hey, Mike, how you doing? I'm like, oh, God. Some partner I am. We can't actually get in the car to set off because I've left my wallet on the plane. So you just sound like a moron. Do you know what I mean?
And it's also and you're fact, you.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you're you, so they can't even talk shit. They just have to take it and pretend that it's all well and good. When deep down inside, every time you turn around, they're like, this fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're saying it's all fine. And again, they were awesome guys. They really, really were. And they took great care of me all weekend. But yeah, it's human nature, because everyone's got schedules. Everyone's got places they want to be, I'm like, this fucking idiot. He's lost his wallet. Oh, my God. And the thing was, when I came out, I'm running up and down. Like from one end of the airport to the other. Lost property was one end. At the other far end, there was this red phone on the wall, which I can speak to people, at that side of the airport. So I was going up and down all the time. And as I was going up and down, people were asking for my picture. They were like, oh, Bisping, hey, what's up, man? Let's get a picture. And I'm like, guys, I'm really sorry. Now's not a good time. I'm freaking out. I think I've lost my wallet, right? And every time I went past, they would say, Mike, let's get a picture. I'm like, dude, hold on. In a minute, hold on. I'm freaking out. I think I've lost my wallet. And anyway, I go back to this red phone on the wall, you know, and this magic red phone, and I'm on there, and I get a tap on the shoulder. Hey, Mike. And this guy looked like the guy that was asking for a picture. So I go, what the fuck, bro? I said, I've told you. I've lost my wallet, man. Okay, can I deal with this? And he's like, Mike, I'm here to pick you up. he was the finance guy from the UFC Gym UK operation. I'm like, oh, shit, my bad. I'm really, really sorry. But I'd be embarrassed as well. In fact, I was embarrassed. Fortunately, the wallet showed up.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like when people come up to you, and look, I've had my own issues. Maybe Chuck Liddell was having one of those days. Maybe Chuck Liddell just lost his wallet, and then I'm going, yo, what up, Chuck? And he's like, dude, I don't fucking need this right now. I just told you 5 times that I lost my wallet. Maybe he thought I was like his Uber driver or somebody else, and he was confusing me. So now you made me shed a little bit of different light on this, but who knows the mood that somebody's going to be in that moment. And if that was a fan, then all of a sudden now somebody's on Twitter going like, yeah, Michael Bisping, he's a piece of shit. They're on Reddit being like, this scumbag, I came up to him, just wanted a picture, then he yelled at me.
I was very polite, and I didn't yell at the fan. I yelled at one of my partners that I just hadn't met before, so he thinks I'm a dick. No, but a good weekend. Always good to be home. Grand launch of UFC Gym Nottingham and UFC Gym Woking. The whole team have done fantastic. The gyms, oh my God, Lewis.
I saw pictures.
It's unbelievable. The gyms are absolutely stunning and beautiful, so they've done a great job. So if you're in the area, check them out. More gyms coming soon. I'll tell you what, though, and I know you live in New York, so you're going to say, shut the hell up. Cold, man. It is cold in England at this time of year. And I mean, what kind of temperature is it now in New York? Because I know New York gets way colder. But
today,
what is it? It was like 2 degrees Celsius. I'm not sure what that is, but that's just over
of course.
Freezing.
Of course you'd pick Celsius, you son of a bitch. You're an American now, okay? We go with Fahrenheit. I think 34. That's 34. That's what it is right now? So it's about 2 degrees Celsius. It's right now it's 2 degrees Celsius in New York City. So
it's
yeah.
Pretty cold. Especially for me, because I'm spoiled. You know, you do acclimatize. I've lived in it's like 90 degrees Fahrenheit or 80 something right now outside. You do acclimatize, and I was acting like a little bitch. They're all looking at me like, I thought you were some like tough cage fighter. Yeah. What's your problem? Just walking from the car to wherever we were walking, I was shivering and my teeth were chattering. Obviously a lot of time on planes, so I think I'm getting a little sick. I keep going from right now I'm sweating, and a moment ago I was freezing. You know, so if I start having a bad do halfway through the show, you know what's going on.
It's okay, man. You warned me beforehand. You said, look, I'm tired. I've been traveling. I think I'm getting sick. So just so you know, at one point, I'm going to be a dick. And that's okay. As long as we warn each other preemptively. Didn't I warn you the other day? I was like, dude, I'm in a fucking mood. It's going to be a problem today.
No. If anyone was the dick, you were the dick. You waltz in 20 minutes later. I said, let's get the show. And they're, hey, man, we all got fucking things to do. What's going on with this air conditioning? So you were the dick right off the bat. Not me, baby boy.
No, I said you warned me that you're going to probably be a dick at one point. So, yeah.
Okay.
And it's fucking, it's hot as hell in the studio. The air conditioner just isn't working. It was blowing cold air on my head for a minute. And now it's just stopped altogether. So I'm just cooking in a small room.
So here's the thing. You are correct. I do sympathize with you. You know, the air conditioning isn't working and the temperature isn't at an optimum level for you. And you spent a lot of money on your studios. I get it. It's frustrating. As I said, I keep going from being too hot to too cold. Moments ago, prior to the show starting, I was in a too hot phase. So I removed my hoodie. And now, even though I'm still a little too hot, I'm not as hot because I took my hoodie off. And while you were, you know, like stressing out a little bit, I didn't want to say, because I didn't want to be a dickhead, but I did feel like saying, well, Lewis, why don't you just take that gigantic hoodie off? If you are too warm, I know it's your Real Ass Podcast t-shirt, but look at that, a sweater, but you got a beautiful shirt on. Doesn't that feel better?
It does feel way better, but I wanted to wear a hoodie. That's what I was going for.
That's
I didn't want
it. You wanted to go for.
Here's the reality. We have a lot of female fans now. This is what I've been noticing as well. We get more and more female comments. The ladies get in my inbox sometimes. And yeah. I'm taking off my hoodie now. I don't want to be so physically distracting to them that they start becoming aroused and not being able to pay attention to the show and the words that we're saying. This isn't fucking, you know, we're not trying to sell sex on this show. We're trying to sell our dynamic. We're trying to sell our funny banter, our conversation, our insights to mixed martial arts and our lives in general. Now we're both sitting here looking like fucking sexy studs, and now all the girls have just checked out. They're just staring, drooling at us.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to talk about hard-hitting current events, topics throughout the world, the challenging conversations that need to take place, maybe break down a few fights. We're not trying to encourage inappropriate comments, okay? Yeah. But, Lewis, you know, I think we're okay. Although you do look good. You look good today. What is new? Have you exfoliated? Have you got a new exfoliation regime? Your skin looks... You are, what's the word I'm looking for? You are
hot.
What is it? You're blooming.
Sexy.
You're blooming. No, none of those words, but you look healthy. You look like you've had some sleep. Maybe that's what it is. And your forehead is particularly red. You look like you've had some sun this weekend.
Yeah, not bad. I was in Jersey, did some shows in Uncle Vinny's. A lot of Believe You Me fans coming out as well. Thank you very much for the believers that have been coming out and checking out my live shows. I am on tour right now if you guys want to come check me out. Luis J. Gomez presents LuisJGomez.com. But yeah, I had a lot of fun. Uncle Vinny's down the shore in the wintertime is kind of depressing, but that's okay. I had a couple weird things happen. Okay, first of all, this morning I get a text message from my son's mother, okay, and she goes, I have to talk to you about something. And anytime you get that, don't send that text message, people. Don't do that.
Yeah. Not just wives, girlfriends, baby mamas, whatever it is, anybody. Never send a text message that says we need to talk or we need to have a chat unless there's a problem. Do you know what I mean? Because immediately, because I often get like from UFC types, you know what I mean? Mike, we need to have a chat about something. I'm like, oh God, here it is. I knew I was on extended time. I'm fine. You know what I mean? It's only a matter of time before I destroy everything in my life. You know what I mean? They're like, and finally that day has come. They're like, Mike, we need a chat. And then it's like, oh, just want to say great job at the weekend. Why not just say, hey, you were fantastic at the weekend. Give me a chat later. Let's talk about it. I want to pat you on the back.
Or just say, hey, nothing bad. Just give me a call. I want to chat to you about something. It's going to be good. Something like that. Just let me know that everything's okay and that I don't have to worry, because immediately my son's mother, give me a call. We got to talk. I'm assuming there's something either wrong with my son or she's mad at me about something and now I have to fucking deal with some shit. So my whole disposition just drops and I get very like, oh, what's going on? And I call her immediately. I'm like, what's going on? And she told me this fucking story, which is just like, it almost breaks my heart to you know, have to even have my son have to deal with stupid shit. And it wasn't anything crazy, but my son's mother was essentially attacked on the street today by a young girl, like a 16, 17-year-old girl. She didn't get beat up or anything like that, which she should have also started the story by saying that. She goes, I was attacked today. She starts that, and I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? You know, immediately really nervous. It's in front of James. The way you tell that story is, just so you know, I'm okay. Don't worry.
Yeah, but you said attacked, but she wasn't physically attacked. So what was that, verbally?
No, she was physically attacked. All right, I'll tell you what happened. Oh. She was getting on the subway with my son this morning. We take him on the subway to school every day because he goes to school maybe 25, 30 blocks away from where we live.
So, that's cool.
Yeah,
in itself,
fun.
That's just New York City life, going on the subway to school every day. People outside of New York, you know, by the way, you just say that all nonchalantly. That's fucking cool, man. That's New York life. I like it. Continue.
Yeah, we take it for granted, you know, but it's a cool experience. Like, I didn't really go on a subway till I was like 19. I didn't really. And it was kind of scary. I was like, oh, shit. And my son, he's been going on the subway his whole life. And so we take him to school every day. And we live in Harlem, which is a gentrified neighborhood. He goes to school in the Upper West Side, which is a pretty posh area, right? So they're on the train, and I guess as they're going to get on the train, there was a girl that was standing directly in front of the door. And this is what people will do. It's a very obnoxious thing. They don't get out of the way. They'll just stand in front of the door and kind of post up. And what I do is whoever's standing in front of the door, on purpose every single time, I kick them in their foot. And if they're wearing white sneakers, I smudge their shoe. I'll kick them in the ankle, whatever it is. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't notice myself kicking you in your fucking stupid ankle. But I'm also a psychopath, so I'm a different person. So my son's mother's trying to get on the train, and she's trying to push through her. And I guess like other people like pushed her in, and she like pushed into the girl, right? And the girl kind of like nudged her with her elbow, and it became this weird little thing. New York City subway cars are really tightly packed. And as the girl goes to get off the subway stop on the next stop, she grabbed my son's mother by the hair and tried to like pull her out the subway to like fight her. Now, meanwhile, my son's mother's holding my six-year-old child's hand, holding his hand on the train. And, you know, my son's mother grabbed her by the wrist and kind of like twisted her off or whatever. And like, you know, the door's closed. But like my son was pretty shaken up about it now. And I'm just like, I haven't even seen him yet. I'm picking him up after this, and I have to like have a conversation with him about what happened there. And she's fine. It was like, you know, a little scuffle or whatever. But it's
no, fucking, for sure though. But
I'm sure it really is going to affect him.
Yeah, when you go to school in the morning with your mum, you don't expect somebody to attack you, certainly on the subway. I mean, a little psycho. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in these days, and especially in a place like New York City. I mean, come on, you must be kind of somewhat used, not used to it, but out of all the places in the world, I mean, New York City, I guess you're going to get your fair amount of crazies there.
Hey, Mike, let's just take a second and talk about one of our new sponsors, which is Mr. Alpha. This stuff was made for us. We are obviously two very alpha badass dudes. And when I heard that Mr. Alpha was coming on board, I was like, holy shit, welcome home, Mr. Alpha. They're an online one-stop shop lifestyle brand for the modern man. Okay, everything from nutritional products, apparel, hair care products, and everything you need to stay ahead of the pack. They sent me an entire package. I'm using the skin products right now. Amazing. The hoodie that they sent me is the most comfortable hoodie that I own.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm looking at the variety of products that they sent me now. They really do have a vast variety of products, but it's the quality that really stands out. Now, some of this isn't going to apply to you. I'm looking at the scalp therapy shampoo for men, Lewis.
You piece of shit.
It's fantastic, though. It really is. Your hair just feels so voluptuous, so nice, so silky, so smooth. I just want to run my fingers through it all day long. Also, I'm looking at the moisturizing hair mask for men. My God, you want moisture in your hair? Go ahead. What's that? Volumizing shampoo. We've got that. You want to recharge sleep aid? We got. You want to lose weight? We have that. Hold on. You've just got a recent tattoo. Okay. It's chafing. You want something to rub on it to make it feel better. Inked tattoo aftercare cream for men. We have hair and beard serum for men or women. If you are, you know, facial hair challenged as a female.
You can just say Italian.
Listen, fight the baggy eyes, the wrinkles. Keep your face useful with the products, as I just said, the anti-aging moisturizer for your face or the eye repair serum. Listen, I've been using all this stuff. It's great. You got to take care of yourself in this harsh world, this harsh environment we're in. We're picking up wrinkles. We're getting older. We're drinking a little bit too much. It takes the toll on the skin. Look after your hair. Look after your body. Look after your face. Look after yourself. So get involved. If you want to do that, please go to MrAlpha.com and use the promo code BYM20. Please, seriously, go to MrAlpha.com. They've got a ton of products, very, very high quality. Check it out. You will find something that you're looking for. And of course, promo code BYM20. You'll get 20% off. MrAlpha.com, BYM20. All right, where were we? I saw something on Instagram recently, speaking of subways, and I think it was New York, and you might have seen it. I don't know. I just saw it recently. I wish I had the video so we could play it, but someone was on, they were waiting for the train and they were at the platform and this woman walks up, boom, and shoulder barges her off the track as the train was coming. Fortunately, someone catches her so she doesn't die. And then she turns around and immediately punches this woman in the face and they start getting into a huge brawl. I'm assuming you haven't seen it, but it's shocking. It's bad. It was caught on CCTV and this psycho was obviously trying to murder her, I guess, but making it look like an accident, which is just disgusting. You know, it's funny you say that, though, because I saw a few things involving children this morning. Friend of mine that's came to a couple of my fights, friends with him on Facebook, his 12-year-old daughter, same thing, got beat up. Well, not same thing, but 12-year-old daughter walking home from school, bunch of girls ran over, beat the crap out of her. There's pictures of her on Facebook, nose all bust open, blood all over her face, blood all over her uniform. You know, it's the world's gone crazy, man. There's some nasty little bastards out there that need a good fucking ass kicking.
Yeah, it's, look, for me, it's a different thing. Guys like me and you, it's a weird thing because number one, typically people don't fuck with us, right? Like, I'm just not a guy. It's just typically if you're going to pick a guy to fuck with, I'm a bigger guy. I have tattoos. I'm Hispanic. You're just most of the time going to move on to the next guy. You have those fucking, you have ears, a scar tissue, you're muscly, you're in shape. You look like a fighter. People can tell that you know how to fucking handle yourself. You also, there's something about the way that fighters in particular, not myself, but fighters carry themselves. There's a cocksure way that they walk. And there's a certain confidence that they have where you can just tell for some reason. I can always tell when somebody is a fighter. Like, even on the subway train, I see a guy, I'm like, I bet you that guy's a fighter. He walks a certain way. He carries himself a certain way. He holds his head high.
You are correct. And I don't think that's a conscious thing. But I guess, you know, for myself, obviously, I was middleweight champion of the world at one point. So unless someone's got a gun or a knife or something like that in a straight old-fashioned fist fight, I'm pretty confident wherever I go, you know. So as I say, so if you can spot that, it's not because I'm trying to exude that confidence. It's not because I'm puffing my chest out and peacocking, trying to, you know, trying to intimidate people. But yeah, I don't walk around intimidated. I don't shrug my shoulders, my chin down, and hoping nobody notices me. I walk along proud, you know. It's funny you should mention that, though, because there was a little tow rag at the weekend in England. Some little drunk asshole was trying to start, not trying to start a fire, just making dickhead comments, you know, and just making a few little nasty remarks and things like that. And then we walked out this restaurant, and this is in Nottingham, and it's a cold, freezing night, you know, and this guy walks past. This is after some that asshole was like trying to start a fire. We walk outside, believing this guy walks past, and he's crying his eyes out. And I mean, absolutely blubbering, right? I don't know what happened. Maybe someone died. Maybe his wife had left him or something like that. Or maybe just had too much to drink. But as he's walking by, I'm a nice guy. I'm a concerned citizen. So I'm like, you okay, bud? You're all right, mate? Anyway, he ignores me. And then he keeps walking along. And you know, like the wheelie bins? I don't know what you call them in America. You call them wheelie bins? Trash cans on wheels, like big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He just starts grabbing them and throwing them through the air, like throwing them into shop windows and things like that. He rips his top off and he's looking at me. He's going, arrest me. Fucking arrest me. Come on. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. I have pulled a full-on crazy here. So I just left. I just got out of there. I wasn't going to meet him head on with as much fury as he met me. I just walked away. Some people might call me a bitch. I call me a mature gentleman.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. That's what I say. It's not necessarily the crazy people that scare me or like the homeless people. Like, look, for the most part, not being an asshole here, but homeless people are pretty malnourished. Most of the time, they're out of shape. Their cardio is not going to be super good. You know, martial arts sort of expensive. Like, just typically, I just assume most homeless people aren't well-versed in martial arts. So that's the only person I'm going to be, like, afraid of, where I'm like, fuck, that guy legitimately knows what he's doing. But just some skinny, scrawny, homeless, crazy person, I'm like, I'll fucking kill this guy.
Yeah, but that's not what scares me about a homeless person. Yeah, you're right. You know, I would assume that majority of people have an advantage. And no disrespect to any homeless people out there listening to this podcast. If you are, I don't know how you're pulling it off, but God bless you.
We have a lot of homeless cats that listen to this podcast. It's a fact.
We do. Hold on a minute. Can someone just explain something? I see this comment a lot. Homeless cats. What does this refer to? I have, honestly, I'm not, what is this homeless cat bullshit that I see
don't know.
Everywhere? I see it on Reddit. I see it on... I honestly have no idea. I see you all laughing, so you guys know. And you're saying, I don't know, but he's a lie. Tell me off air, because I'm assuming it's something you don't want to talk about.
I don't care. Well, anyway, we can talk about it if you want to know. It doesn't matter. It's the Brendan Schaub haters are called homeless cats because I guess Brendan Schaub made a comment about how he doesn't care what homeless people... He said something along the lines of, like, I don't care. That's like asking a homeless person their opinion on something. And so he sort of made, I guess, that flub. So they started calling people who hate on Brendan Schaub homeless cats.
Got it.
Yeah,
got it. Because I just see homeless cat out here quite a lot, and I honestly had no idea, I had no intention, so I didn't mean to bring that up. No, going back to the homeless people though. Yeah, in terms of fighting ability, you know, skills, nourishment, proteins available to them. Yeah, they're definitely at a disadvantage against the average person in the street. But what I don't want is the actual contact. Do you know what I mean? Like those horrible green teeth sinking into me, they could give you a nasty disease. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not saying that all homeless people have disgusting green teeth that will give you a disease if they bite you. But there's a good possibility. So go sue me, okay? I just don't want to interact. I mean, I don't mind interacting. I just don't want to cuddle. I don't want them touching me. I don't want to get into any kind of physical alteration with them. You know what I mean? I'm happy to talk. I'll chuck you a few bucks. I'm well known for doing that. But please, if we're going to grapple, please shower first. That's all I'm asking.
There was this one homeless woman in my neighborhood, doggy. I was this bitch. She stands on my block every day. I hate her with all my soul. I hate her so much. She's so obnoxious. And I was in a cab yesterday, and I don't give her money anymore. I stopped giving her money maybe 6 months ago. I was like, I'm not doing this. You're fucking obnoxious. She's so aggressive. She'll ask you, she'll be like, yo, let me get $10. You're like, did you ask for $10 fucking dollars? Ask for a quarter, lady. Are you out of your skull?
Yeah.
So yeah, she knocked on the window of the cab. Cab driver rolls his window down right on my block. And I was like, I wanted to be like, dude, don't. But I let him. He literally gave her a dollar. As soon as her hand touched the dollar, she went, can I have another one?
Classic. That's what they do. I have it all the time. Like, you know, not all the time, but it's happened to me more than once, should I say. But often, more often than not, you know, someone will say, can I get a dollar? And I'll pull out a dollar and go, give me another. And I was, oh, there you go. And then they follow you down the street wanting more. It's like, listen, motherfucker, you know, I just helped you out. Don't push the luck. You know, I've spent a lot of time out in Thailand, and out there, obviously, there's a lot of homeless people, a lot of homeless children, which is absolutely devastating. So you're walking through, and you know, you got these very, very cute little homeless Thai children, you know. And of course, anytime you see a child that's homeless, you want to help them out. And some of them are holding newborn babies. It's just so sad, and it breaks my heart. So when I see them, and obviously, you know, the Thai currency, you know, they don't need a lot of money in Thailand. So, you know, you can't give to every one of them, but I've definitely, you know, I always stop, and if I see a kid, I give him something. I give him a coin or a couple of baht, which is the Thai currency.
No
and
way,
I had
dude.
People come up, that, I had a couple of people come up and lecture me and tell me off. I said, no, Michael, do not do that. I'm like, listen, if I see a homeless child, I'm going to help them out. They said, no, Michael, but what you're doing is you're perpetuating this vicious cycle. They're all addicted to some, I forget the name of the drug. They're all addicted to this drug, and they have pimps. And when you give them money, they run back. It's not for them. And they give it back to their pimps or whatever you want to call them. Give them the money and they get a little bit more of this shitty, horrible, cheap drug. So by doing that, you're perpetuating this myth, sorry, this cycle, you know, that is ultimately just abusing these children. You know, it's terrible. But
I was going to make,
if you do, if you don't,
I was going to make a joke that, Mike, you can't give these babies money. They're just going to go use it for drugs and alcohol. And that was literally going to be a joke, but that's actually the truth. That's fucked up, man.
That's actually the scenario. It's really, really sad. I mean, what a messed up world, and those people. I mean, what scumbags to exploit homeless children like that, but or homeless cats. Yeah. What else is going on in the world?
Nothing much, man. I also had a weird little thing on the street on my way over here. It was a little spat. So I'm walking through the streets and I'm texting while I'm walking. Is that like a big faux pas? Texting while you're walking? Yeah.
No, not to my knowledge. If you are able to walk, text. Yeah. You know, yeah. What? So hold on, let me guess. You're walking along, you're texting, you bumped into somebody.
No,
right?
And
you're,
didn't even bump into anybody.
The guy was like, hey, dickhead, watch where you're going. Maybe if you weren't texting like an asshole, like a 12-year-old kid, you know, maybe you would have seen me.
Well, here's the thing. Had I bumped into somebody and impeded on their life, and I had, you know, stepped into their world where I now am inconveniencing them with my own lack of paying attention, then I would say, you know what? Fine. You're right, sir. You win this one. Probably not. We'd probably get into an argument. But regardless, in retrospect, I would look back and go, that guy was right. I shouldn't have been an asshole in that moment.
There is no way on this world that you would say, yes, you are correct. No. Never in a million years, okay? Never in a million years you would have had a massive argument. So let me guess. You're walking along. You're minding your own business. Tell me this didn't happen. Did somebody just take it upon themselves to come up to you and say, hey, you're not supposed to text while you're walking?
Sort of. So I'm crossing the street, okay? And the... like a short school bus is passing by, and I'm just texting while I'm there, and I'm standing as the bus is like going by. I'm trying to make sure you understand it. Like, the bus is already past me and not like in front of the bus.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay. So I'm standing there and I'm kind of texting, right? And I'm in the gutter, so I'm not on the sidewalk, but the bus takes it upon itself to beep the horn, just like a little beep. And I look up and I'm like, all right, cool. And I wasn't in danger of being hit by the bus, but maybe he thought I was going to walk into the bus. Whatever it was, he just beeped. So this nerd
just acknowledging you that there was a bus coming and just maybe being a solid citizen. Hey, Mr. Whoever you are, Stranger Gomez, I don't want you to walk out and die. So his little beep, his little courtesy beep to let you know that I'm here.
Exactly. So then some nerdy chick, some like fucking Brooklyn hipster bitch, she goes, yeah, you shouldn't text while you walk. And then I'm sitting looking at my phone. I was like, shouldn't text my walk. I was like, is that a thing? Like, I was like, well, I was like, maybe you have a life that's so relaxed and unbusy that you can get all of your work done when you're sitting down. But to be honest with you, I have to text while I walk. She was like, yeah, okay, but it's very rude to text while you walk. And at that point, the same way you walked away from your homeless crazy person that you said it's just not worth it, I just made a decision. I said, let me fucking go to the studio because I'm going to end up cursing this woman out for absolutely no reason.
Well, that's ridiculous. It is absolutely insane. And number one, she should mind her own business.
Yeah.
And secondly, Hold on. What was her? So, because I was just looking something up because you made me think of something which I want to discuss. I was trying to see if I could find a link to send, but never mind. I'll just mention it. But what was her her actual gripe? What did she say? What was she the said you, issue with?
She said you shouldn't text when you walk. It's rude to text when you walk.
It's rude. Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No, it's not. There you go. I said it. Sorry.
Mike, let's just take a quick second and just talk about BetDSI, which is such an incredible sponsor. If you guys like to gamble, or if you don't like to gamble, go try out BetDSI. I always say this. If you take out a coin right now and flip it heads and tails with your best friend, that's not a very thrilling game. Go put $20 on the line. Now see how much you're going to be freaking out every time you flip that coin in the air, okay? It changes the game. It takes an already exciting sport like mixed martial arts, and it puts it on steroids. It is the most exciting. If you have some money on the line, it is the most exciting thing you'll ever experience. And BetDSI has been in business for 20 years. They are reviewed by all of the major sports betting sites, and it's probably the one gambling site you've heard of, which is important. You know they have a reputation on paying people fast. You know they have an easy-to-use interface. BetDSI is the place to go.
And regardless whether it's MMA, UFC, football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is that you're into, as Lewis just said, you put a little money on, makes it more interesting. It does make it like it's on steroids, and you'll make some money. And of course, betdsi.com, you listen to the show, we have a tremendous offer for you. We'll give you a cash bonus match. Lewis, tell them about the offer.
This is pretty crazy. We're essentially handing you money to play with, okay? If you go to BetDSI.com right now, okay, use the promo code BYM120. You're going to get 120% bonus match on any of your sports betting, okay? So if you gamble on sports, 120% bonus match, meaning you put $100 down, you get to gamble with $220. This is an incredible deal. Really quick, I should just let people know, if you opt in for any bonuses like that, there is a rollover requirement. So you have to gamble a certain amount of times with that bonus money. So before you opt in for the bonus or not, just know that. Either way, use the promo code BYM120. That lets BetDSI know that we sent you there, and that keeps them coming back as sponsors on the show. And if you opt in for that bonus match, it is 120% bonus in their sports book. BetDSI.com. Go win some money. All right, let's get back into it.
As you were saying that, it's rude to text when you walk, or you were telling me that story. Something that I saw online at the weekend, which I just thought was crazy. There's this show in England, Good Morning Britain. They often debate a lot of, you know, social topics with transgenders and things like that, you know. And there's a movement right now in the UK, and it's actually in some universities. The University of Manchester has come under fire because the student union has passed a motion on Friday to ban clapping. Okay, and this is the thing that's going on now. They're asking for clapping to be banned in orchestras, at concerts, in universities, at lectures. Banning is to be clapped because it's disrespectful to people that can't hear. It's disrespectful to people with hearing aids. Disrespectful to people with epilepsy and things like that. Listen, if that's the case, then it's very, very sad. But they're suggesting that clapping be banned to be replaced with jazz hands. Jazz hands.
Yeah.
Look, students at the University of Oxford voted to replace clapping with, give me some, Lewis. Give me some jazz hands.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's
what
it.
Is all that about? What is happening to this world? I can't stand it.
So it's the idea that people are triggered by loud noises. So whether it is, I don't really understand the thing. So are they saying that certain people, a loud noise kind of startles them, and you're sort of invading their personal space by clapping really loudly and suddenly? Is that sort of the idea? And if that's the case, how many people are really affected by this? I've never had a single person in my life tell me, dude, clapping, it really gets me, dude. Ooh. It really,
hey.
Ooh, too much. I've never heard of this. So why does everyone has to change their behavior? And it might, because this is sort of the argument with the whole trans thing, right? Or using pronouns or whatever it is, where it's like the vast, 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 vast majority of people have to change their behavior. For this very small, select group of people, it's almost like, well, at what point does it stop being worth it? We can't change every bit of behavior to make every single little sect of people happy. At what point does it end?
Well, this is the thing. And listen, as I said before, if you have epilepsy or you have to wear a hearing aid or things like that, you know, it sucks. It's sad. It's a shame. And we should do everything we can. Like, I love the fact that we live in a society that, you know, insists on disabled access to certain, you know, to buildings, and they have ramps and they have elevators and do everything we can to accommodate those less fortunate. But there's some things, it's just like, unfortunately, that is the card you've been dealt. We can't ask people to not clap. I mean, that's insane. I mean, what are we going to do now? No fireworks, no public performances, you know, no loud noises, no music. You know, I mean, it's just insane. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'll tell you what, though, Lewis, last weekend we spoke about it. I went to that Smashing Pumpkins concert. Mm. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. At the end of it, everyone was clapping like crazy. I was like, whoa, this is bang out of order. Couldn't believe it. I walked out of there. I'm never going to a Smashing Pumpkins concert ever again. Those motherfuckers clap their heads off. Disgraceful.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, look, we both work in the entertainment industry where people clap, people applaud. I want applause. Let me explain to you something. A comedian, and I'm sure this is the same thing as when it comes down to a fighter. You know, you feel that energy from the crowd. You hit that fucking arena and the crowd roars, they explode, and it carries you to the cage. If you have a joke that really murders, do you have an applause break? If you're a comic and you get an applause break in the middle of your set, meaning that it's not clapter where people are like, oh, I agree with that, that's great. I'm talking about they laugh so hard that they lose control of their motor functions and they have to start clapping. Like, it's they're not thinking about it, right? They're like, holy shit, this is so funny. I have to jump up and down and clap. That is a sign of a fucking great joke. That is a metric where I can go, yes, that joke kills every time. So you're sort of, I don't know, I use clapter specifically in sort of the interaction with the crowd. We feed off that interaction. So I completely disagree with this.
I'll tell you something right now. We've talked about this a lot. And we are planning on doing a live podcast tour. We're coming to the UK. We're going to, you know, we're eventually going to get around to doing it. We've got crazy schedules, but we are going to do it. And we're going to start in the UK. Hopefully, maybe we'll do some in the USA first. Who knows? But I'll tell you something right now. I'll tell you something. If we come to the UK and we do some live podcasts, and at the end of it, you all sit there and you all do fucking jazz hands, okay, rather than making some goddamn old-fashioned noise, that's it. Podcast over. I will never do another episode of this podcast again. That is no appreciation. If you're going out there and you're working hard, you're a fighter, you're a comedian, whatever it is, entertainer of any way, shape, or form, you want some appreciation, goddammit.
Yeah, I agree. It is a silly time we live in. But look, I think this isn't like, I mean, I'm actually probably wrong. This is going to probably be, in 50 years, that's probably going to be the case. So they plant these seeds now, right? And we all go, oh, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. But we'll see. In 50 years, ever in public auditoriums, you're not going to be able to clap. You're going to have to do jazz hands. And that's the time we're going to. And this is why, like, people are always like, oh, dude, you raise your, you know, because I'm an asshole on these podcasts and I make dumb jokes and we say stupid things. But I'm raising my son to be a pussy. I'm raising him to be a part of that world, okay? Because I, you know, this old world is dying. Saying what you want to say, doing what you want to do, and sort of having these opinions, it's sort of going out the window, you know?
But I say this all the time. I am happy that I am alive now. I would have liked to have been alive maybe a little bit before. In fact, no, that's a lie because I like the internet and all that type of thing. So I'm happy I'm alive now. But I don't want to be my grandchildren because, as you said, the world then is going to be a messed up place. We've said this before, but the Demolition Man, every time when John Spartan, Sylvester Stallone comes out of, he's frozen, comes out of cryogenic freezing, and he swears and a little robot comes up. John Spartan, you have been fined 50 credits. I'm telling you, that is the way the world is going. And something has got to happen.
I guarantee it. I guarantee you the words, the big no-no words, all the words that are considered racist, sexist, all the hateful words, all of those words that are considered hate speech now, within our lifetime, will be illegal to say in public. You will not be able to say those words in public. It was sort of crazy when they did the smoking bans in parks, because I used to smoke cigarettes. So at first it was crazy they did it in bars. I remember, now that I don't smoke, if somebody had a cigarette in a bar, I'd be furious, okay? But I remember back in the day, I remember being like, dude, what the hell, man? They're taking away our rights. This is crazy. And it was nuts. And now, like, I completely get it, you know, and I've accepted it. There's no fighting it anymore. It's just become sort of the regular sort of everyday life. And I think we are going to see things like that happening more and more.
Well, I remember when the smoking ban came in England. And of course, you go into a pub in Clitheroe or like any pub, pretty much all over the world. You go into a pub, you know, there's music on, people are drinking, everyone's smoking. The air was thick with smoke. And then the ban smoking, the pubs were very, very quiet. They were almost dead because people are like, fuck that. I want to drink and I want to smoke. The pubs stunk, because the smell of the cigarettes kind of like masked all the throw up and the sick on the carpets and things like that. And the place was dead. So, but then eventually everyone gets used to it. And now it's way better. Of course it is. But I remember after the Anderson Silva fight, I went to Prague and I went to Rome with Rebecca. And when we were in Prague, we went into a restaurant and we're sitting there and it was like going back in time. They said, do you want smoking or non-smoking? Right. And this is 2016. Do you know what I mean? I was like, oh, wow, really? And we sat down in the non-smoking section and like 6 feet away from us, there's a couple there having dinner or having lunch, whatever, smoking cigarettes. Do you know what I mean? I was like, wow, it's crazy. And then you take it for granted, you know, because no one does it in like, you know, in England or America or whatever. But obviously certain parts of the world, you know, they still like to smoke indoors, which is, it is crazy. When you see it, it does blow your mind. Shows in some ways how soft we have got, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, but look, it's better now. I mean, I think secondhand smoke is legitimately a real thing. Scientifically, I think it's proven. I was in South Jersey this past week, and I saw a woman with two little kids in her car smoking cigarettes in the car with the windows rolled up. And I was like, it was just crazy. You don't see it anymore. It's such a rarity. Even in New York City, where it's nearly $20 a pack now, it's rare to see people smoking cigarettes. Actual cigarettes, you'll see vapes all the time. But actual cigarettes, it's so rare. You'll find somebody so randomly. I think it's like $17.50 a pack, $18 a pack. So you have to be really fucking motivated to smoke cigarettes.
I tell you what, living out here in California, of course, you know, California, everyone knows about it. You know, it's a land of sunshine, but a land of clean living and, you know, healthiness and all the rest of it, which is great. But when you go back to England, certainly the north of England, you do see it. A lot of people still smoking cigarettes. You go to mainland Europe, everyone's smoking. So, yeah, but whatever. We had the Moscow fight card of the weekend. Obviously, I didn't see it. I was in England doing the grand opening of these UFC gym locations, which once again are just absolutely beautiful. But I know what happened, so I can't really break down the fights, but I do know what happened. I know Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Magomed Sharipov, he won in the main event. Apparently it was a very, very good fight. Did you see it, Lewis?
I watched the replay of the main, and then I watched the highlights of the co-main event. Yeah, it was a good fight. A solid fight. You know, I guess the big sticking point was that Calvin Kattar wanted it to be a 5-round fight, and he started coming on at the end. It was super early in the day, right?
I have no idea. All I knew was, because I assumed it was at regular fight time. So with that in the UK, it's like 5 a.m. in the morning. So that's the hard thing about being a hardcore UFC fan in the UK. You know, it's hard. You got to stay up till the middle of the night, and then it just destroys your Sunday. Or you have a Saturday night out, you get hammered, and you stay up all night. The problem with that is half the time, you don't even remember the fights because you're shit-faced. You know what I mean? You know you stayed up and watched them, but you're shit-faced. A lot of the time, what I used to do, I'd set an alarm. I'd get out of bed. I'd go downstairs, watch the fights, and then go straight back to bed. But I remember I did that for Anderson Silva once. Who was it? Anderson Silva versus, I forget who it was. And I set my alarm. I got out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went downstairs and just, boom, forget who it was, but he just destroyed him so easily. And I went back up to bed and Rebecca's like, how was the fight, babe? I'm like, fuck's sake. Fucking got out of bed for that. I said, I'm never doing that again. That's it. So anyway, my day started at 7:30 a.m. on the Saturday, and I didn't finish till late Saturday night. So I never watched the fights, but well done, Zabit. He's the real deal for sure. Kelvin Kattar is our Kattar, whatever it is. He's no walk in the park for anyone. Co-main event, Volkov beat Greg Hardy. How was that, Lewis? Did you see that? I'm intrigued to know, because I thought Volkov would be far too much, but I know they went to a decision.
We should have like a sound effect where we like knock on a trash can, and that's where we bring Harrington in. It's like,
I like that.
Oscar the Grouch, before. Harrington the Grouch. Exactly. He lives in a trash can.
Bring in the Grouch. Bring out the Gimp. From Pulp Fiction, bring out the Gimp. We need that sound. We need that little sound bite from now on. Bring out the Gimp. We'll play Oscar the Grouch as well going forward. Harrington, this is your big moment, buddy. Impress us all with your MMA prowess. Break down this fight like a true professional. Send a message to the executives at Zuffa, UFC, and ESPN. Let them see you and think, wow, this guy has such an intellectual mind for the fighting of the arts of mixed martial that we should hire this guy. Harrington, without further ado, go ahead.
Two biggest scents I had coming away from this card. One, Greg Hardy was a former NFL Pro Bowler. He definitely has the athleticism to go 15 minutes with just about anyone, as long as he fights, you know, somewhat defensively and smartly. He was going for it. Volkov is a significantly better martial artist, but he seemed a little bit gun-shy, having been knocked out by a massive, heavy hitter his last fight out. It seemed like Volkov was fighting a safe fight, wanting to get in and out and get his paycheck.
Right. Did Hardy have any success? Because he is very, very heavy-handed. Did he have some moments of success? Did he find the target? Did he connect with anything significant?
No, I mean, it seemed like Volkov was able to use his jab to really keep Hardy at bay. Hardy didn't have any kind of creative ways in, couldn't really break the shell of Volkov. Even when he was landing, it felt like he was catching, like, you know, just the very end of his punches as Volkov was moving out. So, you know, it was not competitive.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, the fact that he went three rounds, you know, that's impressive for Hardy. Almost, you could say, almost a moral victory, you know, but that's not the way to look at it. You know, anytime you get beat, you don't want to look at it like that. But as you said, Volkov is a far more experienced and a better martial artist. And Hardy, he's still very, very early in his career. And Volkov has beaten guys like Fabrizio Werdum. I think he might have finished Werdum. I think he knocked Werdum out, you know. So the fact that Hardy went the distance, you know, okay, albeit a cagey performance, as you said, whatever, doesn't matter. You know, Hardy went the distance, so he can do, you know, he can take solace from that, I guess. But well done to Volkov. I mean, I never saw it, so that's about all I can really say on that event, Lewis.
Question. All right, so it's a moral victory for, for Greg Hardy. Is it tactically a moral loss for Alexander Volkov in that case, because he should have been able to put away Greg Hardy?
Yeah, no, not necessarily. I do see what you're saying, and a lot of people sometimes might say, a guy like this, listen, you should have finished him. But that's not the way it goes sometimes, you know, and ultimately a win is a win, and you'll take it any way you can get it, whether it's a knockout submission, a dominant win, or even a split decision win, as long as you get the win. That's all that shows in the history books down the line. You know, people forget, you know, whether it was close, whether it was razor thin. If it was a controversial loss or a controversial win that a lot of people felt at the time that you shouldn't have even got that decision, it doesn't matter, because that's what the history books show and people forget. So I see the point you're asking and making, and it's a good question, but no, I don't think so. You know, it's not a moral loss. You know, a win is a win. He got all his money. He gets the win. He doesn't go down in stock. He doesn't go down in rankings. You know, and the win streak continues.
So Ngannou, I guess, called him out after it. Am I right, Harrington? On Twitter?
Yeah. So after the fight, Volkov called out both JDS and Alistair Overeem, and Ngannou then took to Twitter and said, congratulations, great fight. Don't duck me this time, or something along those lines. And it, from what I understand, Volkov had came to Ngannou for the fight the first time, and Ngannou had said no to Volkov. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on there.
Interesting. You know, Ngannou seems to be calling out everybody these days, which I love to see, because, you know, I think it's only a matter of time before he's the champion. I know Stipe is the champ right now, and he's actually beating Dos Santos. And I'm not being disrespectful to Stipe. I'm just saying at some point, I'm not saying he takes the belt from Stipe. I'm just saying at some point, I think we will see Ngannou as the champ. But the last I saw, I thought it was all trending towards Ngannou and Tyson Fury, which is what got me really, really excited. Is there any talk of an actual opponent, though, for Ngannou right now, Harrington?
No, nothing yet. Tyson Fury did come out and say that he was going to take care of his boxing heavyweights before he took care of MMA heavyweights. So I guess that's why Ngannou's now looking for fights back in the MMA world.
I mean, Ngannou, three first-round knockouts against Junior Dos Santos, Cain Velasquez, and Curtis Blades. I mean, that's his last three in a row. So he's on quite the win streak. And I think you might be right about that. I mean, Ngannou, he's just got the skill set that any given Sunday he can knock out anybody. So it's only a matter of time before he's going to make his way to that title. Super exciting about that. Didn't footage come out of him training MMA?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, he was at Next Generation training with Darren Till. They're both sponsored by a similar company, so I guess that's the tie-in there. They're both from the northwest of England as well, so, you know, it's kind of a small area. He looked good. Oh, here we go. We got it. He was cracking pads there, throwing some knees, throwing some elbows. Darren was calling out Sprawl. We see him here. I mean, obviously Tyson's a tremendous boxer, so the footwork. One of the good things about boxers, or any boxer coming over to MMA is that they'll have the footwork advantage over most guys, you know. But he's throwing knees, he's throwing elbows there, and he doesn't look terrible, doesn't look bad at all. Cardio looks good. He's a monster. I think he's 6'9". He's got a ridiculous reach, and he's throwing knees. Now, when you're throwing knees and throwing elbows, that would assume that an opponent is coming in close, you know, trying to take you down, trying to get the clinch. So, you know, I don't know what to make of that. I don't know if he is... You know, as I said, they're both sponsored by this same brand. I forget the name of it now. They're both sponsored by the same brand. So they're probably creating content for that sponsor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's a really good red herring to send out there. After what he said and spoke about coming over to the UFC and fighting whoever, and then now it shows him with Darren Till working on the box, the knees, the elbows, the sprawls. You know, that's sending... I mean, he could be actually preparing for a fight. He could be preparing to one day make the transition over to the UFC, or maybe not. Maybe it's just like, yeah, whatever, we're having some fun, we're just trolling everybody, and if so, great, because we're all eating it up.
Yeah, of course. And to be honest with you, I think it's easy to look really powerful on pads when they're holding him right there for you, but he looked really powerful. The knees look powerful, the elbows look powerful. He's a huge guy. Obviously knows how to generate power with striking, so I don't know how much it works with the smaller weight classes, but with the heavyweight division, where it's not stacked with a bunch of unbelievable wrestlers, a bunch of unbelievable takedown artists, it's a lot of heavy hitters, he could jump right in there and be a formidable force.
Absolutely he could. I truly believe that. If you matched him up correctly, because there is some good wrestlers, I mean, like Stipe, for one, you know, he out-wrestled Ngannou. Ngannou's been doing MMA longer than Fury, so you'd think he'd out-wrestle Fury as well. You know, I mean, that gives, you know, I mean, that just goes without saying, really. And they're not going to give Tyson Fury a title fight right off the bat anyway. But then you've got other guys. I mean, Cormier is going to be done soon. He's going back and forth with Stipe at the moment, actually. Did you see that? He's saying, what did Stipe say? Did Stipe say he said he'd rather have the Tyson Fury fight than the Daniel Cormier? And then DCA was like, you know, he's like, come on, let's do this fight. Curtis Blades, he's a good wrestler. I forget off the top of my head, but there's a lot of good
wrestlers. They're not going to put Tyson Fury against like a crazy wrestler. There's no reason to do that. It's not like when they brought in, what's his name, against Randy Couture, where I think they were trying to make an example of him. They were going, no. Let me show you something. I think if they brought in Tyson Fury, because James Toney was well past his prime, I don't think they paid him a crazy amount of money. It wasn't some crazy paycheck. I think he did it for what a mixed martial artist was fighting for at the time, essentially. Whereas I think if they brought in Tyson Fury, it might be to actually go for a run, to actually compete. And you probably would want to give him a few matchups that he could win, because you have a lot of potential money in a title fight down the line. Having the heavyweight boxing champion come in and fight for the heavyweight mixed martial arts, I mean, that, holy shit, dude, everyone buys that fight.
Yeah. Oh, what one? I don't want to say 100%. I'll say 1,000,000%, or absolutely dog it. I know a lot of people are giving me shit for it, for saying 100% too much. And I, by the way, it's me that brought it to the forefront, you little fuckers. You think I don't know? You think I don't know? No, for sure, man. If Tyson Fury was to come over, I think. I'm not going to say the word groom, but they would stagger his matchups and give him logical matchups, because Fury. You know, I mean, listen, look at the UFC. You know, people call it the entertainment era, you know, and Fury ties into that perfectly. The guy can talk. He can talk shit for days. He's very, very funny. He can put people down. He sings on the microphone. Not only is he the heavyweight champion of the world, but he's massively charismatic. He's an absolute huge star. And if he could come over, win a couple of fights, and then get a title fight, for the UFC, that's big business. That'd be a massive, massive pay-per-view. So you're right. James Toney, they were throwing him to the wolves. Give him Randy Couture. Make a mockery of James Toney. Make a mockery of boxing at the same time. Because remember, that was in the early days. And there was still all this talk of boxing versus MMA. I think that's died down now. People realize that they're two different sports and the two can coincide alongside one another. But back then, I think the whole, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I think the idea was there to show, hey, listen, here's a former boxing world champion, stick him in with one of our guys and he'll get destroyed, you know?
Yeah,
and obviously.
And the same thing happened when you put Conor in with Mayweather. Yeah. And I think Conor McGregor did substantially better than James Toney did, whether or not you believe Mayweather was really just toying with him or really showed up for that fight or not. Conor McGregor at least put on an entertaining fight. It wasn't a clinic. It wasn't an embarrassment. It was actually, we're talking about moral victories. Conor McGregor had a moral victory that day because he went, how many rounds was it?
Yeah, nine. I don't know about a moral victory, but he did better than some people.
Yeah.
Anticipated he would do. I tell you, let's just take a quick second to hear from BlueChew.com. If you like sex, you will love BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom. I mean, come on, we all want to go a few extra rounds. We want to impress the missus or the boyfriend, whichever way it is. At BlueChew.com, you can get the first chewables with the same active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, and chewables can work faster than pills. In fact, up to twice as fast. The chewables from BlueChew.com can be taken on a full or an empty stomach. The online physician consult is free, so it's cheaper than those other two, Viagra and Cialis. It only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you will get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor and made in the USA. BlueChew gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it, so please go ahead, chew it, and do it. And of course, we have a fantastic offer for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order for free when you use the promo code BELIEVE. Just Mike, pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com.
Well, why are you whispering? It's so strange. It sounds like you're telling a secret in the other room.
Yeah, I'm. You know, it's a sexual ad.
You're making it sexy for the listeners.
You just fucking ruined the ad. Take over.
It's hilarious. It's fucking hilarious. It sounds like you're trying to sweet talk the listeners.
well, you know, we're talking about sex, Viagra, Cialis. Go ahead, finish it.
All right. So, yeah, go BlueChew.com is a website, and use that promo code BELIEVE, $5 shipping, free BlueChew right to your door. Enjoy it, chew it, and do it. All right, let's get back into it.
I was going to transition it into one of the other topics. Nick Diaz came out and did an interview yesterday, didn't he? And, you know, caused a lot of headlines and things. But I'm hesitant, man. I'm hesitant to say anything because Jesus, just on my breakdown of the Diaz versus Masvidal fight, Diaz has got some very, very passionate fans out there, and I got some nasty messages.
Oh, what happened?
Instagram. Holy shit! No, just from fans. Just from fans. Let me see if I can find one. You know, to be honest, I get so many like random messages every day. It's hard to find them. But some people are like, listen, you fucking piece of shit. You'll never understand a guy like Nate Diaz. Blah, 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 blah. You one-eyed fuck. How dare you go out there and say this and say that? You don't even know. You're a racist piece of crap and all this. And I was like, holy shit. All I said was, I said I got a lot of respect for Nate Diaz. But you know, these clickbait websites, I should know better. But I did say I don't respect the fact that if he can't win, he's going to be retired. But now he says he's not retired anyway, right? He said no. He said, I'll fight tomorrow.
Hey, look, what you said was, you know, and you can only, people pick and choose what they want to hear. You said, I have a ton of respect for Nate Diaz, huge fan. We'll watch him fight every single time. And because of that respect, you really don't like the fact that he's going to lose a fight and go, well, I guess you use the term, you know, throw your toys out with the pram or something like that.
Throw your toys out the pram. Spit your dummy out.
Yeah.
Take your ball and go home with it.
Yeah, and I understand that as well. You're like, you know, because I'm a fan of this. If I didn't like this guy, I'd be like, cool, sayonara, motherfucker. But because he's so unbelievably talented, and because, but I also defend that as like, look, these guys are emotional. They fucking say what's on their mind at that moment, and I respect that in a weird way. And I would only not respect him if he truly did retire. If he retired and walked away and said, fuck this, I'm never fighting again, I'm like, all right, dude, that's a shitty way to end your career. But I know he's just yapping. I know he gets emotional. And it's the reason why the fans love him as well. I think that that's almost where you're getting the passion from their fan base is almost like, dude, you don't fucking understand him, man. That's just Nate. He's deeper than you'll ever be, dude. You don't even know. So I get it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I get it as well. And you're right. People do get emotional, certainly after a fight. Certainly after a tough fight like that. That was a tough fight. It was a hard fight, you know? And listen, you can't deny it. Diaz was losing that fight and he lost the fight. You know, it was a tough loss, you know? And then sometimes after, it's a tough pill to swallow. It is. And that's why I always respect anyone that fights MMA, boxing, kickboxing, or just even like a little grappling tournament, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of level, to step out there, to put yourself on display, to put yourself out there to the larger world, to be mocked, to be belittled, to have people talk about you online, just like being a comedian or an actor. Anytime you put yourself out there on a pedestal to be, for the public to look at you and scrutinize you, it's a tough thing to deal with. Certainly though, in mixed martial arts, the toughest combat sport in the planet, to go out there and you feel like you're going to win, and then you lose, and it rips your heart out, and you're destroyed, and you got all these emotions, you know? So you say things you don't necessarily mean. So maybe I could have given him a bit more of the doubt. But as I say, yesterday I flew back on British Airways. So I was in the air most of the day. So I never saw the Nick Diaz piece. Now, I did try and see a bit of it this morning. Harrington or Lewis, do you want to give us a breakdown of some of the highlights of what Nick was saying? Because what I did see... I don't know. Had he had a few vodkas beforehand? Because he was slowing his words a little bit.
Harrington, what did Nick see? Because I just read the highlights of what he said, and it did make me excited. I'm an old school Diaz brother fan. They could do no wrong. I'm always going to watch them fight. They're just badasses. You know, we'll talk about the potential Nick Diaz versus George Masvidal or Jorge Masvidal matchup in a moment.
I saw that obviously, but from what I put it on this morning when I was trying to take a shower, but I landed late last night. I fly to Brazil in the morning. Obviously I was in England all weekend. I've got to commentate Sao Paulo this weekend, so I've got a lot of stuff to do. I've got to pack for Sao Paulo. I've got to get a suit out. I've got to organize all my files. I've got to bloody study. I've got to read interviews. I've got to watch fighters on the card. I've got so much to do. So when I was getting in the shower, I quickly put it on and I saw that it was like a 48 or 49 minute long interview. And I thought, I just haven't got the time for that. So Harrington, give us a breakdown of some of the highlights.
I mean, there was some absolutely wild shit he was saying. Like, they asked him why he hasn't taken a fight. He says he gets in four or five fights a year, showed off a bite mark. They asked him where that bite mark is from. He said, no one
really
bit me.
Where was the bite mark?
I believe it was on his arm. I was just reading a transcript of this.
And there was no bite mark.
No, there was a bite mark. It was very clearly a bite mark. And they said, who bit you? And he said, no one, because he's a Diaz brother. But this I thought was the most interesting.
They're not rats, Mike Bisping. All right. Snitches get stitches.
I get it. Grasses get molasses.
What? Grasses get
molasses.
I don't
molasses. Know. A grass is a British term for a rat or a snitch. So I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that rhymes with grasses. The best I come up with was molasses, which actually is pretty good. Molasses is a thick, very viscous, tarry, sugary, syrupy liquid. If you get molasses, you could say you get drowned in molasses, never to be seen again. Grasses get molasses, bro.
We kick grasses' asses.
Why are you going to try and one-up me every time?
It was better. It made more sense. Grasses get molasses makes no sense.
It does.
It's a stretch.
You can drown in molasses. I died in molasses. I did this soap opera in England called Hollyoaks Late Night. And in my death, I fall off a building and my brother, my on-screen brother, is holding my hand and our grip, you know, it's breaking. And then I'm like, just let me go. Just let me go. And then choo, the grip breaks. I fall. I land. I go through I fall about 50 feet. I go through glass, a glass ceiling. I land through the glass and then they run down and I'm led in like this big vat of oil, but it wasn't oil, it was molasses. And then they push the buttons for the oil to come out. And as the oil subsides, I've been speared through the chest.
By some shards of glasses.
Grasses get shards of glasses up your asses while lead in molasses, you know? That's a classic one on the streets of England. People say that, yo, bro. You know, grasses get shots of glasses in your asses while lead in molasses. In that accent as well. Yeah. Just in that accent. That's how they say it. Anyway, go on. Where were we?
So what do we think here? Now, Nate Diaz, obviously not retired. We'll see what happens there. But Nick Diaz now saying, give me the quote, because I thought the quote was kind of badass. Because he said he baptized, Masvidal said he baptized Nate Diaz. And that is, I guess, the comment that Nick Diaz took issue with, right?
So actually what he said was, I don't like to leave the octagon with my opponent's conscience. I didn't get a chance to baptize Nate Diaz, so we got to run this back. That's what Nick took exception to. He said, you want to talk about baptizing my younger brother? That's on you. Like, you don't talk about baptizing my younger brother. So you're already in a fuck position if you fight with me. You don't fucking talk about baptizing somebody's younger brother. That's my baby brother. You ain't talk like that to nobody. And then he went on to say, this I thought was his best line.
Hold on. Stop. Listen, I get it. Listen, and I know Nick. Nick's a great dude. I've hung out with him a lot. You know what I mean? I like Nick. But unfortunately, like in the regular world, if somebody's out there trying to go after my little brother and beat up my little brother, then yeah, I'm going to dive and I'm going to take exception to that. And I'd be like, if you lay one finger on my little brother, you're going to have me to deal with. But if my brother fought for the UFC, my brother fought for the UFC and it was his job and he signed as a willing component of the two people meeting in the octagon and were getting paid millions of dollars to do so, then I kind of feel that that's okay.
Absolutely, doggy.
I think Bisbee said it best.
It's true. I mean, look, like, but it's also why I love Nick, because he's probably hammered. He's probably at a nightclub in the back of some fucking green room, right? They're giving him whatever he wants, and he gets himself worked up. This is the Diaz brothers. They're such hilarious, thuggy dudes. He's convincing himself that his family's being disrespected, and he's getting himself more and more angry, and God bless him. I don't know if we'll ever see Nick Diaz fight again. I have no idea. I don't get my hopes up when Nick Diaz says he wants to come back, because he said it before, but if they wanted to make Nick Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal for the BMF title, bring back the BMF title, motherfucker, because come 2020, I would pay for that fight so quickly.
Well, Harrington actually missed out one of the highlights of what Nick actually said. I didn't watch the whole piece. I just looked online and I saw this, which Harrington decided to leave out. He said that he is the BMF, that's his title. You know, why don't you put that one in there? That's a good headline, Harrington. That's a good piece of info for him to say. He said, I am the BMF. That was my belt that they were fighting for, and that the whole thing is bullshit.
That's the problem with Harrington, honestly. It's always a bunch of half stories. Jesus Christ, Harrington. You left off the coolest quote of all.
Yeah. What say you? Anyway, no, listen, I get it. You know, it's funny. You just touched on something there. You said, oh, it's funny. As he talks, he winds himself up. That's what Rebecca says about me. And it's totally true. If I get, you know, I be in my bonnet over something and I'm talking about it and I start talking, and then I wind myself up and then I start pulling my hair out and then I want to kill someone. Do you know what? I do it all the time. I wind myself up. I don't want to kill someone, but I do lose my shit. I'm going to right, listen, and let me tell you this. And they're like, what are you doing? It's like, because I've just spent half an hour winding myself up over it and then totally overreact.
I'm the same guy. That happened to me yesterday or this morning, actually. This is a new thing that Chase Bank does. If you spend money on your card, whatever it is, I don't even know what the standard is, but every once in a while, and for me now, it's like twice a week, they shut off my ATM card where I can't spend. I have to call the bank and be like, hey, what happened? And they say, oh, we've suspected fraudulent activity. And it's usually if I like make a bunch of payments at once, because what happens is I put everything off and then I'll just get motivated to pay a bunch of things. So then I'll go pay this, Venmo, Apple Pay, whatever. So they see a bunch of transactions at once and then they go, oh, shit, this might be fraudulent. Let me shut off the card. But I've had to call Chase Bank maybe 10 times where, and I'm talking about, like, I'm just working myself up on the phone. Like, as I'm waiting, I'm like, I gotta fuck up. You have my money, motherfuckers? And then by the time the person gets on the phone, I'm just such a fucking asshole. I mean, I will tell you, it's recorded. It's out there. They definitely have me just treating this person like the scum on the bottom of my shoe. But, I mean, it's the most inconvenient thing in the world to have to spend 10, 15 minutes on fucking hold to be able to purchase a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No. I'm way ahead of you. Trust me, I have this every single time I have to call the bank. I travel a fair bit, just like you do. And they say, you've got to inform your bank, you know, notify your bank if you're going to be in a different city or a different state and things like that. But sometimes you haven't got the time to do that. You know what I mean? And a lot of the time, Rebecca will do it for me. Sometimes she'll forget. So I'm kind of blaming Rebecca. But anyway, recently, one of many, many, many times, I was in Tampa, Florida. I was commentating and my bank card wouldn't work. Okay. So what do I do? Like a logical person, you look on the back of the card. There's a number on the back of the card. So I call the number on the back of the card. They say, your wait time is going to be 23 minutes. Okay, so you're like, oh, you listen to the worst music ever. I don't know why they choose to have the most aggravating, annoying music. Just put something in the charts on. Put something current or some classics. Don't put on some really bad, annoying jazz music that you just want to kill the person. Then eventually you get on the phone. Then you start going through the security questions. You give it all this stuff. And then you look into your account. And then they're like, oh, is this a business account? I'm like, yeah, it's a business account. I have a business card. And on the back of the business card, it said, call this number. They're like, oh, yeah, no, sorry. This is personal banking. We'll have to transfer you. So then the whole process starts again.
Right?
And then I'm old again, okay? And then you come through and I get to the person. Now I'm being a little bit shitty. Now I'm like, listen, I've been on hold for a very, very long time, okay? And then I start being a dick. And then I've had them do this. I've had them just hang up on me. And then I have to start the whole process again. I get so annoyed. As you say, they are recorded. Those tapes are out there. One day they will see the light of air. You know, the new Zen Michael Bisping was not on display in those days.
Yeah, I can't deal with it. I know it's just the worst service in the world. I can't. And if it was when I traveled, it's one thing. But I'm just at home. I'm at home and it stopped working. Drove me out of my mind. I looked up. Let's see. I looked up why hold music is so bad. When you're on hold, and there's a reason apparently. Let's see. On hold music and the psychology of waiting. Have you ever wondered why you hear music and informational messages while you're on hold? The reason is to give callers something to listen to while they're waiting, right? Well, yes. Music and messages on hold were deliberately designed based on the psychological reactions of people when they were placed on hold. Then they go into something about, perceived time. One of the first reasons the caller will become frustrated is the perception of time. So if they're changing the songs, you know how long you're on hold for. So if it's just sort of a rotating thing that's mindless, you have no idea. That's interesting.
Yeah, but hold on. But that's like being very disrespectful to the intelligence level of the person waiting. You're like, oh, okay. I mean, you've been on hold for 93 minutes. You're like, but it's the same song. It must be 3 minutes because the song hasn't changed yet. I mean, how dumb do they think we are? What's the next one?
And it says, dead air on unoccupied time makes this time seem to drag on, whereas if there's a content-filling time, such as music or spoken messages, they feel like it's going more quickly.
Correct.
Music serves a message. The whole purpose of playing music for someone on hold was originally to give a few moments between messages for the caller to absorb the messages they just heard. For maximum recall later, music serves the message while also helping pass the time. Wow, not just any music will do. Certain types of music calm a person while on hold, and other types cause them to react negatively. So they do this as well with, like, casinos. They choose certain coloring on the casino floors for the carpets. There's a reason they do that as well, right? It's because it's
softer colors.
I think it's because there's so many spills and there's so many stains and things. The colors they choose, they hide them really easily. But all of that shit's deliberate.
Yeah, no, of course it is. Yeah, with my bank though, to be fair, they do say the time's going to be 23 minutes or whatever it is. Would you like us to give you a call back? And you leave your number, and they do, and they call you back. So that's better. Oh, I always do it, and it works, and they call you back. But still, I did that 3 or 4 times, and by the end of it, after this fucking pointless cycle going round and round in circles, sitting in the back of an Uber, not being able to fulfill the things that I want to do, can't pay for goods, this and that, sat in the back of an Uber, losing my fucking shit. Yeah, by then, I'm like, I'm done with this. And then I just hang up, and I've got no cash and no card.
Real quick, before you switch topics, though, as we're sort of on this happened to me 2 nights ago. I had my son over. This is a fat, hilarious moment. I called Insomnia Cookies. Do you know what that is?
No.
I think they have in Cali, too. But you get cookies delivered till 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And they're really good. Okay. Like, really good cookies, right? So it's just
hold on. I was going to say, there must be some good cookies, like, till at 3 o'clock in the morning. If you're out there and you're at 1:20 a.m., you're like, oh, God, you know what we need? We need some Insomnia cookies delivered right now. And you take to your phone, you go to the app, and they're going to drive them to your house. I mean, what is so good about Insomnia cookies that you need them delivered at 3 a.m.?
They're just solid cookies. And to be honest with you, in New York City, the city that never sleeps, sometimes you get drunk after a bar, and you're like, dude, we need to order some fucking cookies right now. So
what
that's
kind of pussy is going home from a bar and having milk and cookies?
Somebody who didn't get laid.
Harrington is a number one order of Insomnia cookies.
So I go to order and I place the order, and you know, you're on the phone with the person, they take your address, and it's a call center because they're all over the place. And I wait, there's supposed to be a 30-minute wait. I wait like an hour and 15 minutes. I'm like, these fucking cookies aren't here yet. So I call them back, and it was so funny because my son didn't even care. I just wanted the cookies. My son does not give a shit about sugar, but I was so angry. And then I lied. I was like, I have a house full of kids that are waiting for cookies. You're breaking their heart. My kid doesn't give a shit about the cookies. And it was just the most I hung up the phone and I felt disgusting. I was like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah, and meanwhile, the person at Insomnia Cookies is like, why have you got a house full of kids wide awake at 3 o'clock in the morning? What kind of shitty parent are you?
It wasn't 3 in the morning.
Took them in, okay, give them a kiss, read them a story, and let them go to sleep, you absolute psycho. Yeah. No, so go on, you were saying.
This is at like 8 o'clock. This is
I know.
Yeah. So but yeah, that was I'm not good with customer service. If they do me wrong, I start to get myself worked up because if I feel justified in my anger, that's what it is. If I feel justified in my anger, I will just keep going until the person can sort of like calm me down and go like, well, no, I'm sorry. You're 100% right here. But I'll just keep on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You've talked about this with your wife. It happens a lot where you just like, it's a little thing and you're right. And instead of just being right, you have to take it to a level where now your reaction is worse than the offense that the person committed initially.
Yeah, for me, certainly in restaurants and things like that, I tend to, when I, you know, I'll have a friendly complaint. You know, I try not to be a dick. I try not to lose my temper. You know what I mean? But my problem is that when I do complain, I exaggerate the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'll sit there in a restaurant and maybe 5 minutes has passed and no one's brought water, a menu, no one's been close. And then finally they come up. I'm like, oh, great. Thanks for showing up. You know, we've been sitting here for 20 minutes. And they're like, 20 minutes? Really? I don't think so. And then I'm like, really? You're arguing with me? Dude, we've been here 20 minutes. And they're like, you psycho. We saw you just walk in 5 minutes ago. You've been sitting here for 2 minutes. You went to the toilet. I actually came over to serve your table, but you weren't here. I thought you might appreciate actually being at the table when I came and took the order, you know, and then it just deteriorates from there. Anyway.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and talk about Native deodorant, which I love. Such an amazing product. At Native, they create simple and safe, effective products that people use in their everyday lives. They create products with trusted ingredients and with trusted performance. All you have to do is check out the 8,000 five-star reviews from their customers.
And if you do that, you will find out that they are formulated without aluminium or aluminum, as you say, or without parabens and talc, filled with ingredients found in nature such as coconut oil, shea butter, moisturizer and emollient, tapioca starch, absorb wetness, and this is important, no animal testing, and of course, free shipping and returns. Listen, at the end of the day, you need some good deodorant. You want to try something new. You know, you don't want to be smelling the same. You don't want to be being the same. Evolve as a human being. Try new things. Native, you will not be disappointed. You want to smell good, look good, feel good, and do what's right in the world. So if you're on the lookout for some fantastic deodorant, you want to get involved, you want to buy something, you want to surprise somebody, maybe you want to surprise your girlfriend. Lewis, what say you?
Mike, I got to tell you right now, I'm recommending for everyone right now, grab the coconut and vanilla fragrance, which is their most popular scent. This is an incredible gift for the holidays for your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. They have both men and women's fragrances. This is an amazing, amazing product. And most of the time, I don't like all natural deodorants. This stuff is real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. You got to give it a try. You won't be disappointed, as we say, and we stand by that. So, of course, we've got a great offer for you. Please visit nativedeodorant.com. Native, N-A-T-I-V-E, deodorant.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE during checkout, and you will save 20%. Once again, nativedeodorant.com. Use the code BELIEVE during checkout. You will save 20%. All right, guys. Let's get back into it. Moving on. So we have here lots of news. We're not going to do quick hits because Harrington killed the quick hits segment. Quick hits. My name is Harrington killed the quick hit segment with the music. The music mix was all off in the last one and people didn't take to it. So we'll just give these good old-fashioned comments and we'll discuss each section. Because you've done a good job, Harrington. You really have. There's lots of good ones here. One or two of them we have spoke about, but we'll go through them numerically, one at a time. Thug Rose, she wants back in the octagon. What say you?
Good for her. Yeah, get in there, Thug Rose. Have some fun. Blam! Harrington, quick hit.
Harrington, give us some thought, because obviously she lost to Andrade, she got picked up, she got spiked on her head. Immediately after that, she said that she thought she'd lost for the passion for mixed martial arts, wasn't sure if she was going to compete again. You could say kind of like Diaz just did, you know, in Diaz's defense.
Well, hold on.
First time we see that.
let me ask you about that, Mike, because that is what she said. You're right. And that sort of, has there ever been a moment in your career where you felt that way? Where you were like, this is like, dude, I'm not passionate. There's something not in me right now where I don't want to train. You've never been able to sort of connect with that loss of motivation?
I understand it. I sympathize and I have compassion for them. You know, when I read that and I hear that, you know, but for me personally, no, never, ever once. And if I lost, I mean, other than that one loss to Dan Henderson, and again, in that fight, when I got knocked out, I was doing well. You know, I've never had a fight where I've gone out there and I got absolutely beat to fuck, pillar to post, where I didn't belong in that octagon with that person. You know what I mean? That fight, I got caught. I had a few fights, even Vitor Belfort. It was a pretty even fight. He caught me with that head kick. So I always took, you know, positives away from them. You know, and maybe that's my way of dealing with it. Say, now, you know, he just caught me. We all get caught here and there. I always wanted to get back in there ASAP, rectify those wrongs, learn, get better from it, and become a better fighter and work towards that belt. I never, ever once went the opposite direction where I said, you know what, fuck this game. I'm done with it. This ain't worth it. You know, I never, ever had those emotions.
What do you think it comes from? Because I understand that. In comedy, it's a lot of peaks and valleys. In fact, one of the best pieces of advice that I ever received from a comedian was from a friend of mine named Joey Gay. Tough name to have as a kid, but Joey Gay. He said...
Real name.
Oh, yeah. You think he changed his name to Joey Gay?
maybe, ironically. Maybe he's a very, very flamboyant, raving homosexual. You know, and he's like... This is the perfect name for me. Or maybe it's just old big job. Maybe it's all tongue in cheek, or maybe cock in butt cheeks. Who knows?
Yeah,
you know?
Tongue in butt. Not tongue in cheek.
Tongue in butt cheeks. Cock in butt cheeks. You know, but no.
So, yeah, no, but he said, because I was just down one day outside of a comedy club, and I was like, ah, dude, what am I even fucking doing anymore? You know, because the first 5-10 years of comedy, you're not making money. There's no way to gauge your success. You're just showing up to these open mics. You're just doing this thing. It's like, you know, at what point do you go like, dude, I'm running a race and there's no finish line here. I'm getting demotivated. I'm getting tired. I'm getting exhausted. So I had one of those moments, just sort of had, he caught me in a bad mood, and he was like, dude, just keep showing up. That's it. If you feel bad, just go do another set. Just show up, because the valleys are going to happen, but the peaks are going to happen, and you have to just say, fuck it, I'm going to keep showing up. And it always stuck with me. Like, anytime I felt bad or I demotivated, my career wasn't going the right way, I was like, dude, just go and do a set. Keep showing up. You'll get out of this. There'll be in a few weeks, you'll look back and go, like, what are you talking about? You love this. So I understand the demotivation, especially with something that you're passionate about, especially if you run into some sort of, you know, you're running into some roadblocks and some major issues. You know, you think you're the best in the world, you think you're about to go on a run, then all of a sudden you lose everything. You have to sort of question what put you there. Why do you think that a fighter might lose their motivation, though? What do you think it is that made you not do that and some fighters sort of go there?
Yeah, well, for me, I always believed in myself. You know, I also felt that I never performed to the best of my ability in the octagon. I never performed like I could perform in the gym. So, you know, I wanted to do that. Also, this is the thing I'm best at in the world. You know, so of course, I'm not going to give up. This is what I do best. Also, it's a fun thing. B, you earn a lot of money as well. You know, the money side of things, the financial reward is very, very good. But as I say, this is what I do. This is what I feel that my God-given gifts are. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to throw that away just because I lost one or two. I mean, the majority of the fights I did win. You know what I mean? So a little loss here and there, you know, I wasn't going to give up until I became champion of the world. But a different side of things, see, as I said, that never, ever occurred to me ever once. But another world that I'm in now, which is very difficult, is the acting world. Mm. You know, and that, see, this is different. You know, that's hard. You know, I mean, geez Louise, I'm not a natural actor. I have to work at that. I do acting lessons, and I've had acting lessons. I have an acting coach, and I've been fortunate enough to get, you know, a number of gigs. I think I've got 14, 15 credits to my name, which I'm pretty proud of. Hopefully next year, I've got a few projects lined up. But it's a hard gig. It's a grind. You know what I mean? And my wife, Rebecca, she's always like, Mike, why are you bothering? Why are you bothering, you know, getting these auditions, working on the auditions, working with an acting coach, driving up to LA, dealing with the traffic, going into the audition, being there for 2 minutes. You walk in, you're like, fuck. And then like you get nervous or something, you do a terrible audition, and like, yeah, okay, thank you. And you walk out, you're like, fuck, that sucked. And you know,
you spent hundreds of dollars on an acting coach. The drive, all the time back, you have to drive thinking about how much you fucking sucked and how you just flubbed your dumb line. Yeah. That's the other part about acting auditions and probably acting in general, because I don't go on many auditions anymore. I told my agent to just stop. I was like, dude, I'm not an actor. Just stop. Let's not even try to go down that path anymore. But there's no, like, even when you do comedy or you go to the gym, right? Let's say you go to the gym. You do, you get off. Not, you know, I'm saying, like, you sort of get, there's a fulfillment there. You go to the gym, you had a good day training, whatever it is. You feel like you burned calories, you learned a little bit of something, whatever it is. If I go on stage and I try a new bit, whatever it is, I feel like I've moved the ball down the field a little bit. No matter what, just going up on stage one time, when I do an audition, sometimes you walk in, you're like, what the fuck was the point of that? I feel like I moved back. Yeah. I feel like nothing happened at all. There was no tangible reason to even be there. And you have to get up and you have to do it again. So that gratification that I feel from comedy or from some other things, even just as simple as going in and, you know, going on a treadmill for an hour, there's none of that gratification with acting auditions. Unless you nail it, which I never do.
Yeah, well, this is the point I was going to make, because, you know, over time you get better and you start nailing the auditions. I mean, some of them have been bad and you know right then and there. But these days, more often than not, I feel pretty good. When I walk out, my agent calls, how'd it go? I'm like, well, I feel like I did pretty good. I feel like I nailed it. You know what I mean? But it all depends whether or not I've got the look that they're looking for, whether I'm just right for the role or not. Sometimes you're just not right for the role. But if you went and did a good audition, you know, it is good. Unfortunately, off some of the auditions I've done, I've got work. I've been booked, you know, and Rebecca was like, why do you do all this? Why do you torture yourself, put yourself through all this and all that rejection? You know, I'm like, well, because when you do nail it and you do an audition and you get the part and then you're on set, you know, and even when you're on set as well, sometimes when you're there, right, when you're doing an acting role, the most of the time you go to set, but you're in your trailer, right? And it's days and days. You get to set. You have to be there. Sometimes you get picked up at 4:30 in the morning, right? You get to set at 6 o'clock. You go and you do your makeup, your hair and makeup. You get your wardrobe on and you sit there and it's 6:30 in the morning and they don't use you until 4:30 in the afternoon. Mm. And you're sitting there in your trailer, bored out of your mind, scrolling social media, reading a book, whatever it is, but you're just killing time. And you're like, this sucks. This sucks. I'm over this. But then they, boom, they call you and then you're on set. And then that's awesome. And it makes it all totally worthwhile. You know what I mean? It really does. It's like, this is why I do it, because I love it. It's fun. You know, acting is a lot of fun, especially the stuff that I do, a lot of action stuff. So that keeps you going back. And I guess it's the same with the UFC fight. I remember, and we've spoke about this many times, before every fight, I'd be like, why do I do this again? Why do I do this? Because the nerves start kicking in. You're like, what the fuck am I doing? Why do I put myself through this? You know what I mean? There's other things I can do to be successful. There's a lot of things I could do with all this time to do something else with my time and energy to make something on myself. Why do I do this? But you go out there, you have the fight, and like, yeah, that's why I do that. Win or lose, and you can't wait to get in there again. Anyway, we went off on a tangent there. Doug Rose was back in the octagon. I can't wait to see her fight back in the octagon, because she's one of the best. She says she is the best in the world. She went up to one of her old coaches. And yeah, I hope she comes back. Number two, we've already talked about this. Stipe one.
I'd say, because we're running a, Mike, I apologize. We are running a little bit out of time. So maybe we should pick like three or four of these that are interesting. Okay. Just because I want to get to some of these fan questions as well, because we didn't do any on the last show. What about number seven, Logan Paul versus KSI? I didn't actually watch it. Did you watch any of the highlights or anything?
No, I didn't, but you're right. We should talk about this. This was a big cultural phenomenon amongst the young people, amongst YouTubers. A lot of boxing aficionados had a lot to say about this. Kevin Ioli, a longtime respected boxing journalist, had a lot to say. He said, I can't believe I'm watching this. KSI won. KSI won the fight.
Did Logan Paul win the first one?
No, it was a draw. First fight was a draw.
Okay.
Second one, KSI won. I heard, though, that KSI got clipped, got wobbled really, really badly and had to rally back. So fair play to him. Showed a lot of courage there. Harrington, did you see it? Have you got anything you can offer us on this fight before speculate wildly?
I'm having them pull up highlights. We could watch them as we chat on it, because I didn't see literally a single highlight. I didn't see a single punch thrown. I know last time they wore headgear, right? Amateur boxing rules.
Yeah, because it was amateur. This one was the first professional fight. I do know that Shannon Briggs, who was training Jake, Logan Paul, he's off his head, man. Let's go champ guy. You know the guy? Let's go champ. He was like getting into all kind of spats all weekend because I see on his Instagram he was like someone he punched someone in the face or pushed them in the face and the guy swung a punch at him. Shannon Briggs, he's awesome. He's fun to watch on Instagram, but he's out of his goddamn mind. But he's a big, massive, gigantic, 2-time former world heavyweight champion of the world. So I guess he's got a little bit of leeway.
Here we go. Let's pull some highlights. Let's see what we got going on.
Yeah, so we got them walking out. KSI doing his best Deontay Wilder impression. And now doing a bit of a Tyron Woodley impression. Now they're here. Nice jab to the body by KSI. Exchanging jabs. Ooh. A bit of a wild shot there by KSI. Swinging wildly with the hooks. Good, nice long jab. Guillotine attempt there. Referee stepped in. KSI walking forward. Slips the jab. Nice.
Welcome, Paul. They're both in good shape. They don't look terrible. I mean, I'm not watching the whole fight, but not as bad as they were. People were making fun of them online, trashing them. They're in shape, guys. No. They're training to fight each other. They probably look about even in terms of skills. More power to them. Doggy, we're in a world right now where money is king, right? And if people are willing to pay and there's a demand for it, I have no problem. I have no reason to watch this. But look, they're hitting each other. They're fighting with passion. They don't like each other.
Hey, listen, this is an entertaining fight. You know what I mean? Right, if you're a boxing purist, you're going to look at it and you're going to break it down and say, nah, the skill's terrible and all the rest of it. But as you said, it's entertaining. They're both standing there. They're throwing bombs. They're swinging wildly. They're throwing as hard as they can. And these guys both have passionate fan bases on both sides, you know? So there's a lot of emotions involved. Logan Paul's just been dropped there. Gets back to his feet. But yeah, as you said, I'm not hating on them. I'm not hating on this. I mean, look at the crowd. Absolutely packed out. Looks like it's, I don't know if it was a sellout, but it looks like it from what I can see here. And both guys, fair enough, this is the highlights, but you know, it looks like a very entertaining fight. Not the best display of boxing, but sometimes you don't need that. A lot of time you want to see a good fight. And often a good fight isn't the most technical fight. You just got to look at Stephen Bonner versus Forrest Griffin on the final of the Ultimate Fighter 1. The fight that saved the UFC in many, many ways, and that's what's gone down in history. It was a terrible, terrible fight technically, but it was super entertaining. And it got tons of new fans involved. And I think Kevin Ioli was saying this. He said, listen, you know, I can't believe I'm watching this, but if this brings a lot of new supporters or fans to boxing, then it was worthwhile, you know, and good for them. They went out there. They no doubt earned a lot of money. They gave a good account of themselves, and congratulations to KSI.
Yeah, it's a really, dude, I can't hate. I did a way less high profile, dumb celebrity MMA thing for LS Mania, and it was the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. I learned more about who I was as a human being, you know, just in terms of what I could do, how not even just in the fight, but how much I could train, the type of shape I could get in. I learned exactly how much of a pussy I really am in real life because I started training with people who literally knew how to fight. It was an amazing experience. So more power to him. I genuinely believe that every man should go and do that. They should get into a class, get into a training situation, and go and test themselves and just see what it's like to actually prepare for a fight with another person, all things considered even, and what you would do. I think I walk around, even though it's an interesting thing, right? Because I trained for that fight and I definitely know more about how to fight than I did before I did. But I also sort of walk around more afraid than I did before. Even though I'm more skilled now, I'm still more afraid because now I genuinely know, I mean, just what a person who's like legitimately tough can do. I had no idea before.
Yeah, so I agree to a certain degree with what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And as I say, I do agree, but I don't agree that everyone should necessarily have a fight. But people need to get out of the comfort zones. That's what everyone should do. They should go into some kind of environment which takes them out of the comfort zones where they get pushed to the limit. Now, whether that's running a marathon, having a celebrity boxing match, or just a white-collar boxing match, an MMA fight, or, you know, some you know, these tough mudders, whatever, these combat courses, whatever it is, do something that challenges yourself, that takes you out of your comfort zone, where it's a pain in the ass to get through. You have to do a long training camp, or you have to train for this. If you're running a marathon, you've got to train for that. You know what I mean? Something that really pushes yourself. You'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll learn, you know, how far you can take yourself, how far you can push your body. You'll probably surprise yourself with the actual amount of discipline that you can actually undergo and stick to. You know what I mean? If you've got a training regime that you've got to stick to because you've got an event coming up in 2 months' time, you know, it'll do wonders for you. Mentally, physically, you'll lose weight, you'll feel good, you release those endorphins, and then ultimately, at the end of it, you'll have achieved something. So I don't think for everybody going out there and getting into a fight is the main thing. But as I say, find something, challenge yourself, find something that takes you out of your comfort zone and go for it. And anyone listening to this that is bored, that has nothing to do, that wants to lose weight, that wants to improve their lifestyle, that wants to improve their mental health, you know, that wants to do anything to improve their life, find something. And find something physical, you know, because the physicality, you will release those endorphins, you will learn new skills, you will burn calories, you will increase your health, you'll probably help yourself live longer, you'll meet new friends, you'll get out the house, and you'll fucking kick that depression, you know. So whatever it is, any way, shape, or form, go out there, get out your comfort zone, and challenge yourself. There you go. And wow, that was a public service announcement brought to you by Michael Bisping.
We just saved some lives just now, so.
I feel it. I right now... Right now, the souls that were going up to heaven that are coming back down.
Okay, let's go. Let's get a couple questions in. Real quick, let me plug a couple things before we wrap up here. First of all, if you guys want to send us a question, shoot us an email at bympod@gmail.com. We always love getting the questions, whether video, audio, or whatever, fan art as well. Go subscribe to our iTunes channel right now. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. And last but not least, if you guys love the show, every episode is available on demand at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. Get access to the entire on-demand library. All right, let's get some questions from some fans. We got time for two or three of these. Let's see what we got. We got number one from RJ Ryan.
Mikey Lewis, RJ here from Toronto. Big fan of the podcast. Just wanted to know, what do you guys think about boxing in 4-ounce gloves? I think that if Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou were to fight, 4-ounce gloves would be the way to go, because it would just make it more even. I mean, Tyson Fury obviously has much more boxing experience, but he wouldn't be able to block as well with the 4-ounce gloves. So just let me know what you guys think.
Okay. Ryan, I appreciate the question. I do. I appreciate the question. But if you've ever listened to the podcast, we've talked about this many, many times. The art of boxing becomes very different when you change the size of gloves. You know, that's why mixed martial arts, you need different gloves because there's different skills. You know, there's grappling, there's submissions, there's jiu-jitsu, sambo, whatever you want to call it. If they were to fight in the UFC, they should fight, obviously, in 4-ounce gloves. If they are to box, they should fight in boxing gloves. Otherwise, it wouldn't be boxing. It would not be boxing, you know. So I appreciate the question, Ryan, and we always appreciate fans coming in and sending in the questions. But it's not the best question, Ryan. I love you, buddy. I love you. You know, I mean, they should fight. So you're basically saying, should they fight box in 4-ounce gloves? No. That's bare-knuckle boxing, pretty much, okay, with hand wraps, okay? That's bare-knuckle boxing. That's boxing. That's MMA. Tyson's going to come to MMA, hopefully. I want to see that, and I want to see it in 4-ounce gloves. And hopefully Ngannou or someone from the UFC will box Tyson Fury. And I want to see that in boxing gloves. Simple. Period. Done. Boom.
Next question. What do we got?
All right. This is from Gary, actually. Firstly, love the show, the best MMA comedy podcast on YouTube. Quick question for Mike. What British comedy programs of the past does Mike like? Example, The Inbetweeners, Max and Patty, Only Fools and Horses, and which ones would he recommend for Lewis to watch? Lewis being the comedy connoisseur that he is. Cheers, Gaz from Manchester.
Well, thanks, guys, from Manchester. You said some good ones there. Yeah, you kind of put me on the spot. I mean, Only Fools and Horses. You won't get that, Lewis. It's like a lot of too many British terms, too many like British style jokes. I mean, you know, of course, good comedy is good comedy, so you'll appreciate some of it. But there's a certain nostalgia to that. But Only Fools and Horses is one of the best. I mean, Blackadder was fantastic. Harry Enfield and Chums, that was good. Hale and Pace back in the day. The Catherine Tate Show. She was hilarious. I mean, you know, come on. You know, we got great comedy. We got great comedy, Lewis. We really know how to do it in the US. Sorry, in the UK. We shit all over the USA in terms of comedy. You know, just throwing that out there. Yeah. No, seriously, we do. We do. Yeah. We've got much more refined, intelligent style.
Yeah,
you know?
Mr. Bean, the Tracy Ullman show. I remember all your horseshit from when I was a kid. It was garbage.
Mr. Bean is for children. Lewis, Mr. Bean is for children.
I was a child.
Mr. Bean. Yes. Okay, good. Great. Target audience. Mission accomplished.
It stinks. It's fine. I don't mind it. It's fine, but it is. It's a weird thing. You have to sort of get used to the rhythm of the way that people talk. Just in general, I have a hard time watching like British movies, British TV shows. I like on Netflix the fucking one about technology. What is it called? You know, it's fucking Black Mirror. Black Mirror. I like Black Mirror, okay. But because it's British, it just starts to annoy me. I would say about the hour and 30, hour and 45 minute mark, my head starts to hurt when I listen to a British accent. I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here. So, yeah, but sure.
Racist,
fine.
Racist. Like, I spoke to my Indian friends, a lot of my partners in UFC gym are Indian. And I told them about last week when I were talking like this. And I said, you know, I did an Indian accent. And he said to me when I did the Indian accent, he said, wow, racist. And I said, is that racist? And they went, no, this is not racist, Michael. It's very good. And you do a very good Indian accent as well.
Would you like to have some curry, Michael Bisping? That is not racist at all.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's the national cuisine.
I know.
But for you to actually sit there and say, no, because it's British, you can't deal with it. You can't take it. Then, yeah, that is actually, all right, British is a racist because we're not a race. But still, it's prejudice towards British people. And I highly take offense, Lewis.
I'm sorry. I was trying to offend you. Shame.
Mission accomplished.
Last question of the day. I say with go with number three. We already talked about Logan Paul.
All right. This is an oddly worded question, but Joel is a big fan. Hey, Mike and Lewis from Ottawa, Ontario. Saw you in May at UFC, Cerrone vs. Raging Al. Fucking love this podcast. Just finished your book, Mike. Stellar read. It was my Father's Day present. It's been pre-ordered since the summer. Read it in 2 days. I have two quick questions. One, is there any chance, just once, we can have a podcast like 10 minutes after Lewis wakes you up, Mike, as he's been caffeinated for 4+ hours, ADHDing and fucking about? The fire you would potentially spit his way seems like you'd make an entertaining show. I think Lewis would have lots of fun with that, too.
I mean, I guess, but that would involve multiple things. If I've just woken up and I'm in a bad mood where Lewis is calling me, he's doing my head in, we'd need cameras, microphones, headphones, things like that that aren't there. When I wake up, I'm not podcast ready. I don't have the microphones, the headphones, the cameras, the lighting, this whole elaborate setup that we use for this high class, highly sophisticated podcast. But I appreciate the question. But I do have some now. I have some new Fandangle technology that the Gas Digital Studios did send me, which I will be taking on tour. And, if Lewis can fit me into his schedule to maybe, you know, schedule a call here and there, you know, because I know he's a big deal these days and he can't do it and he's dipping out of podcasts. And I'm just going to start interviewing fighters on the road. I'm taking them down to Brazil. I might snag a couple of interviews. I might not. Let's just see how the wind settles, how the land lies. Let's see how friendly the people are, you know. But, nothing is impossible, my friend.
Very, very nice. Thank you for your question, Liam. Mike, let's wrap this one up, dude. We got a lot of stuff going on this week. I hope you have fun in Brazil. We will do a full breakdown when we come back next week. Any final thoughts? Any final words?
Had a great time in England this weekend. Thank you to everybody that attended UFC Gym Nottingham. A lot of people came up. First thing they said, Lewis, was love the podcast. So many people. The podcast is growing like crazy. It really is everywhere I go. And you say the same thing, you know, podcast is growing like crazy. But please continue to spread the word. Tell everyone to subscribe. But we appreciate the comments. We appreciate the feedback. The YouTube section, you guys are awesome. It's just a sea of positivity as opposed to negativity like most areas on YouTube. So we thank you for that. We really do. Very, very passionate about the podcast as well. We're going to start with some live shows coming soon. We're going to figure it out. In the meantime, have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the fights at the weekend, and we will be back soon. All the best.